those that are truly saints of God. And that is where we abide, if we truly belong to Him. In this light, we know that our sins are cleansed. In this light, we are made acceptable unto God the Father. In this light, we are holy and righteous, not in ourselves, but in the light Himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is never a possibility in ourselves. This light is a mark of our true genuineness, of our true authenticity as one of the elect. It reveals that we truly belong to Him. This light is the only positive for all that is in Adam. All that is in our Adamic nature is negative. Everything about ourselves is negative. Everything about ourselves is sin. But in the light, we have all of these benefits. What is walking in the light? Certainly John gives us that definition there in the same chapter. As he says there, starting with verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This light is a revealing light, because this light reveals our sin. We're given the ability to see our failures and flaws and our inabilities in ourselves. In Him and Him alone can our sins be forgiven, paid for in His righteousness and precious redemptive blood. If we are in the light, then we know that we sin. We see ourselves as God sees us, and that there is absolutely no ability in ourselves, and that our cleansing is not in anything that we can do or try to do. Our cleansing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If not in that light, we look at ourselves through the eyes of man and not recognize our sin, and thus, as the verse says, become a liar. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be made manifest in the light, that we're easily recognizable by our words, walk, and action, not because of ourselves, but because we're part of the light. As Ephesians 5:13 tells us, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. John tells us, if we have that light manifested in us, then we have fellowship one with another. Those that dwell in the light have that light in common. There is a bond found nowhere else in the world. That bond in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is as no other. It may be that we don't speak the same language, or that we don't live in the same hemisphere, but we're all of the same light. We're all called on, we can all call on the Lord out of a heart that has been cleansed by Him. We all know where our hope lies. It is a common light to all the chosen and called of God. As 2 Timothy tells us, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And the only way we can have that heart is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we cleansed and kept in this light? Certainly in the shed, perfect, redemptive blood of the light Himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in that our initial and continual cleansing is done. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, eternal, everlasting, put on flesh and blood and became a man such as you and I, but without the sin. The only acceptable sacrifice unto a holy, eternal Father. He died. He shed His blood. And in that blood we are cleansed. In that blood the guilt of sin, both the original that was which we are born and the actual which we continue to do, our sins are forgiven. As Galatians 3 tells us there in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So certainly we walk in the light, not because of our own works, not because we deserve it or we purchase it. The light is priceless. There can be no value placed upon our Lord Jesus Christ. All creation, both heaven and earth, do not hold a candle to the light. In that light we abide. In that light we can walk. In that light our path is illuminated. In that light we are guided in this world of sin and corruption and darkness. We are comforted, solaced in our walk as commanded over and over by the Lord. As it says there in Ephesians, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And then we see that we're to worship in the light. And that is the only right worship that there is. There is no worship in ourselves. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. As 1 Peter tells us in that familiar verse there in verse 9 of chapter 2, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We worship not because of our own abilities, but because we are chosen by him. We are a chosen generation. We as saints of God are directly opposite of those shown there in verse 8 of this same chapter. "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." We're chosen by God to salvation. We're chosen by God to be one of his own. It is his work from start to finish. There are no stones left unturned. There's nothing there where we can take any credit whatsoever. He knew who we were before the world began. He knew who we were when he came to this earth to pay the redemptive price. He will know who we are when it comes to claim us in the rapture. We are given to the Son by the Father. And there in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." We have been his in eternity past. We are his now, here and now, and we will be his in eternity future throughout all generations, throughout all eternity, chosen and called by the light himself. Our hearts rejoice and worship in that light. It was the work that our Savior completed, a work accepted first of all by the Father, a work that is available nowhere else than in the Lord Jesus Christ. As John 17 tells us in those familiar words there, starting with verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Not to every man, not to every man having an opportunity to make a decision, but to every man that God had given the Son. "And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So it is in him, in this life, that we can worship as a chosen generation. It is in him that we are a royal priesthood. In this age of grace, we are united unto the royal priest, as a royal priesthood, having access to God through our mediator. We belong to and serve the King. We also see in the end time events we will become part of the ruling body of Christ as well. As Revelation 5 says, "And thou hast made unto us God's kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Being chosen and being of the royal priesthood, that makes us a holy nation. Not holy in ourselves, but holy in him. A people that belong to the Lord. Therefore, as Scripture tells us, we are that peculiar people. A people as no other. A people that possess the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. nothing to do with ourselves, but only in Him. Therefore, we cannot worship in ourselves. We cannot worship in other men. We can only worship in the one to whom we belong. All honor, all glory is to be unto Him. We are unworthy, to say the least, of any of these blessings, of all that Christ has given unto us, from salvation all through the game. And that is to be the thrust of our worship. That is where our worship lies, not in what kind of show we can put on, not in what kind of numbers we can generate, not in what kind of decisions we may attempt to make man make. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we acknowledge the Father, we acknowledge the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we follow the teachings of the Scripture. We follow those teachings of the Old Testament in presenting a sacrifice, not the animal sacrifice as they showed, but ourselves as a sacrifice. Christ presented Himself as the only acceptable sacrifice to the Father. We, in turn, belonging to Him, can present ourselves as a sacrifice to Him. Paul tells us in the Scriptures that he wrote that this is only reasonable. As Romans 12 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Certainly in our worship, and much is made of worship in the false religions that surround us, but in our praise and admiration of our Lord, we give it all to Him. It is not what we see in our day that is so popular. It is not the emotional roller coaster of many false religious movements around us. It is all glory and honor and credit given to our Lord, not to ourselves. As Hebrews 13 tells us, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And not only are we to worship in the light, we see that we war in the light. As Romans 13 tells us in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Throughout the Scriptures, we're told to be prepared for war. We're told to be prepared for battle. We're never, ever promised an easy path. It is certainly not the path of health and wealth that we find preached all around us. It's not the decisional generation and easy believism that surrounds us in false religion. This is the truth, and as these false religion proves to us every day, man hates the truth. As promised throughout Scripture, the life of the saint is a battle. It is a continuous battle with Satan and all that follows him. He knows that he cannot win. He cannot take one chosen from the hand of God. But that is his purpose. That is what he would like to do. And it is a continuous battle with self. It is a battle with false religion. It is a battle with false teachers. But more we find so, it is a battle with our sinful self. Satan's objective is to attack the church. That's what he does. Make the chosen look stupid and useless. And how many times have we heard that? Try to destroy their testimony. Try to use him to make the word of the Father appear invalid. How many times have we heard that? It is quickly, though, coming to an end. As we see in the days and age in which we live, as things deteriorate, as God has promised, the reign of Satan and evil is closing. The night, as the Scripture says, is far spent. The darkness showing the depravity of man and the dominion of Satan bombards us every day. But the light's day is at hand, the coming of the Lord, the time when He will return and reign in power and glory. It is not a question of if, as was questioned in the Scripture by many, it is only a question of when. But as soldiers, we are to put off the effects of darkness. What are they? The Scriptures tell us they are the works of the world. In the day in which we live, it's hard to find anyone that is not burdened with the works of the world, the effects of all around us. Certainly all you have to do is listen to the news for 5 minutes. We are bombarded with them daily. It is a constant battle, one that will not cease until our being in the presence of the Lord, whether by death or by rapture. As believers, we know that we will be in the very presence of the light. Therefore, we are to cast off all the effects of darkness. We are to repent of our sins and failures, and we are to allow the influence of the light to be the predominant factor in our life and not that of the world. How can we be a soldier of the cross that we should be? By putting on the armor of the light. We're told this in Ephesians. We can only be the warrior by being prepared, as it is with every warrior. In that light, we have the righteousness needed for our everyday existence in this world of darkness. As Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we do not put on the whole armor, then we're essentially naked before the world. We're essentially naked before the wiles of Satan and darkness, and we're vulnerable from every direction. There is no possibility of withstanding the attack. Those of us in the light are to resist all that darkness has to offer. That is our task. While here on this earth, this is what God has given us to do. When we do not resist, then we are not prepared. That results in failure. Surely we fail all the time in this, in our failure, and surely we do fail in our sinful self. All these armaments are the possessions of each and every one of the elect. For us to be the soldier we have been called upon to be, then we use these armaments and these provisions. Just as our fighting men in the military, just as they understand that they go into battle, that anything left off or left out, whether it be helmet, vest, boots, guns, communications, or whatever it might be, it makes them a better target for the enemy. We as Christians must realize the same thing in our war in the light. We're to be fully prepared. Partial service of less than full preparation leaves us vulnerable to the attacks of Satan and in our service to him. And then we see that we're also to work in the light. And we have that found there in John 3 and verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. This verse is in direct contrast to the two verses previous. It shows once again the 180 degree difference between darkness and light. We find that in the verses previous there in John, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There is no coming to the light in ourselves. There is no coming to the light in us making a decision to do so. Us coming into the light is in the choosing and the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who truly have the Lord in their hearts are not afraid of the light. They welcome the light. It is their guide. It is their stay. It is their fortress. They can do what they have been called to do by dwelling in the light. Dwelling in themselves will always fail. But there is light. There is that light given that gives the desire to follow what God has given forth in his word. What is in the truth? what is in to be honest or to have integrity, and whether someone is looking at us or not. The previous verse convicts and terrifies the follower of darkness. Yet in the light, the saint is comforted and confirmed that it is not in ourselves that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in ourselves we will always fail, but in Him there is no failure. If we do it the truth, then we are acting in the light. If we do things honest, then we're being honest in the light. And though in our flesh, certainly we fall short, it is in that light that we are always in truth and honesty. Surely we fail and falter and we have our infirmities, but we hold fast in the light that it will never fail. We are committed to know that the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find these characteristics in men throughout the Scripture. There in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to yours." In the Old Testament, in the rendering there of the story of King Asa, as 1 Kings tells us, "But the high places were not removed, nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days." If we dwell in the truth of God's holy word, certainly as one of the elect we do, then we are more than willing to accept ourselves as God sees us. We understand our sins and shortcomings, and we don't have the ability to overcome them. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those sins and shortcomings are shown to us, as the Lord reveals them to us, certainly to correct, instead of allowing our prideful sin to rule over us and saying, there is certainly no problem. In doing this, when this is done, these deeds are manifested not in ourselves, not because we chose to do it, but in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory and honor fall exactly where it belongs, and that is upon the Lord, and not upon any man. The light causes us to want to know what God promises us, what God promises in His Word that is concerning us. And whatever it is, the light gives us grace. The grace to do it, whether it be easy in our eyes or difficult. As Psalms 139, a very familiar scripture says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Certainly in our sinful self, we have no character and strength acceptable to a holy and righteous God. Being in the light is contrary to our own will, to our own wants. The light allows us to enter that holy of holies and into the presence of our great high priest. That light alone mediates on our behalf with God the Father. Our faith, our love is in the light. Our strength is in the light. He gives us strength to do what is called upon us to do in this world. In Him, it is in Him that our efforts are accepted. In Him alone do they bear the test, done for His sake, not for our own. For His honor, for His glory, not for the accolades of man, when truly wrought or fashioned in Him, then we as His saints have rejoicing in our hearts, as 2 Corinthians tells us there in chapter 1. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you." And then we see that we walk in the light. Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours that we watch in the light? Are there not 12 hours in this day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." How do we see things the way that they ought to be viewed? How do we discern true doctrine from false doctrine? in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His provision that gives us discernment through the Holy Spirit. As men of flesh, we don't have that ability. It is only in Him we're able to see. He promises that to walk in His light, as the verse says there, is to stumble not. It is in darkness of ourselves that we stumble and fall. In darkness, we're tempted, and in darkness, we fail in our sin. Pictured here also is in this passage is the earthly life of our Lord. As long as there was work for Him to complete on this earth, it was life. Yet when that work was completed, the darkness came, and He was crucified there on the cross. But yet, in that work itself, the light was shown and that it was finished. Salvation was guaranteed to those that He had called and chosen. Our life as a saint on this earth is as a day. We're given the light by the Savior to complete the task which He has called us to do. When we come to the end of our life, man looks at death as darkness. Yet as one of his own, we can see it as a light. The light illuminating our way. Walking in the light, walking in the will of the Father, following His guidance and His commands in His holy word, it says here, we will stumble not. And though Satan may attack with fury, our path is illuminated by Him. In this light, we can have confidence. We can have confidence that cannot be found in ourselves. We are able to discern because our eyes are opened in His light. The sureness in our steps, the clarity in our vision is not based on what we have accomplished or what we have gained or what we have done or what we think we know. But that assurance is in the complete accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. The darkness also points us here to the end of the age, a time when the work is done and there will be no more, as the song says. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Lord has promised us that whatever time He has put us here for, there will always be light. That light will never extinguish in our lives. And certainly it is a crooked path. It is a rough path. It is a steep path. But the light is always there to illuminate our way. No one can touch us, not Satan, not false teachers, not the followers of false doctrine. Our time is appointed. It is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how hard the trial may be, and they are hard, no matter what the situation is, we are here until the time God has set for us for our departure, just as our Lord in His earthly sojourn was as well. As John 7 tells us, then they sought to take Him, but no man laid hands on Him because His hour was not yet come. We, as the elect of God, those who are chosen and called, we are still here because our hour has not yet come. Whenever our Lord, while here on this earth, He walked in this day, in this light we're talking about, we can also watch in the light by following His guidance. It is His light alone. It is Him, His person alone. He alone knows His will and purpose for our lives. And then we see that we also, upon this earth, we witness in the light. As Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine in the light, as lights in the world. There is no witnessing, there is no upholding the word of God other than in the light. By being in the light, we see that we are sons of God, chosen by Him, sons being the children of God. One cannot witness of that light if he does not belong to the light. Chosen and called child of God. We live in a world that is occupied in the majority by a crooked and perverse generation, which is told us here. We're admonished to be above that, to be blameless and harmless, And that is totally against our nature. False religion and its teachers and followers will and can make all the accusations they can invent. But in the light, not in ourselves, but in the light, we are blameless and harmless. In Him, we can be harmless in a world that thrives on harm, whether by physical violence or mental violence, stepping on those with less to have more, and the list goes on and on. As saints, we're to never forget what this world is. And we're never to forget who rules it. And that is why it's so vitally important for us. It's vitally important for us, for our spiritual well-being, our spiritual health, that our roots dwell there in that light. And that we look for that light and seek the light's guidance and not in the darkness of the world. As Matthew 4 tells us again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kings of the world and glory of them. This is what we face every day. We're faced every day with what the world has to offer. Yet it has nothing in compared to the light. And Paul certainly prefaced this verse as to how Christians are to witness of the light. First to be blameless and harmless, then to follow our shepherd rejoicing. Certainly we fail at that so many times. Not in dread and complaint, but in rejoicing. As he says there in Philippians, do all things without murmurings and disputing. And certainly for each and every one of us in our flesh, this is a very convicting question. How are we viewed in the world? Are we known as one who loves the Lord? How are we viewed as far as our brothers and sisters in Christ go? Are we known as one who loves the Lord and seeks the light? Or are we viewed as one who is never happy about a thing? Who complains about something all the time and nothing is ever right? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is right. There is no wrong. The words of the apostle used here speaks of complaining, not like we are accustomed to, but a low muttering and grumbling. This is what we often do just with ourselves. What it depicts is actually one's rejection of where God has put us, of God's providence, of His will and circumstances for our life. It questions the very sovereignty of God. And certainly we do that in our flesh. In our sinful selves, we often blame others. We blame situations. We even blame inanimate things. But we are really doing is blaming God. If we truly believe that He is sovereign as He is, that everything He has control of, that He does, then He has put us in the situation we're in. Whether that be a trial or testing or chastening or strengthening us spiritually, and our reaction to that, reveals our heart. This is difficult for each and every one of us as children of God. It is only in His revelation, it is only in His solace and His wisdom can we grasp that He is sovereign, not only in spiritual things, but in all things. We're so concerned with how our neighbor sees us, or we're so concerned with how the world sees us. But most important is that God sees us, and He knows us from head to toes. He knows all our failures. He knows our words and our actions. He knows our thoughts. Most important, He knows our hearts. And certainly, it is a matter of our spiritual health. In our murmuring and complaining, that certainly can't be good for our spiritual health. But in seeing the light, in seeing the accomplished and perfect redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, only in Him can we be blameless and harmless. Our sinful nature certainly does not allow that in ourselves. Harmless is innocent, a life that is characterized by what pleases God, a life that is characterized by purity and holiness, not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, there is none of that in ourselves. Certainly, there is no holiness. Certainly, there is no righteousness. All you have to do is be honest with yourself to know that. But we do know that there is holiness and purity and righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ can men see Him through us. Only then can we be a reflection of who we belong to. Since the days of Noah, there probably has not been the opportunity for the saints of God to let their light shine. Yet, there are so many false lights in this dark and sinful world. There are many lights that come and go. But we're called upon to be the reflection of the true and steady light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the representatives of the ultimate light. We have been called out of darkness. We alone are able to shine. We must show that what and who we are in the midst of a dark world. As we're told there in Ephesians 5, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And then we see that we wait, speaking of waiting for Christ in the light. As 2 Peter once again tells us there in chapter 1, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do dwell that ye take it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the dark arise in your hearts. One that is truly a child of God, one that is truly called and chosen by Him, we wait for the return of our Savior. We wait and anticipate in Him. We wait and anticipate in the light. Peter tells us that we have light now as it shines in our heart and it shines through us in this dark and desperate world. But we look forward to that day when we will be in the very physical presence of the light, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 tells us, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. We remain here as God has placed us here. We remain as representatives in a dark place of the light. We will remain here as long as God has chosen. It is a squalid place that we live, but our light is there. Our light that can shine, that is to shine in our hearts unto other men. As John 1 tells us, that was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Not only do we read in the scripture of the effect of Christ's return on the very universe itself, but the effect it will have on all that belong unto Him. No longer will we be plagued by sin. No longer will we be plagued by self. No longer will we be plagued by Satan placing doubt in our hearts. We will be forever with our Lord and Savior. In an environment free from sin and evil, in an environment that will be totally light. It will be a place that is 100% holy and pure, including each and every saint that is called from the beginning of creation until the end. Now we have a perfect but limited revelation of the Word of God. At that time it will become perfect and completed and be open completely unto us. There will be no further mysteries. Proverbs 4 tells us, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We wait for His appearance. We wait for the appearance of the physical light. Yet while we wait, we remain in the light, and we are secure in Him all the time. Satan and all his forces cannot remove us. They cannot neither remove or put out our light. He is our light for all eternity, and just as promised, He will take us to our heavenly home, where there is abundant light, where there is absolutely no darkness and no night. It is a place of eternal rejoicing, eternal praising, and eternal serving our precious Savior, a time when worship never ends. And then in conclusion, we see that we warm in the light. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I'm sure as I have, you've walked or worked outside on a cold day and the temperatures are frigid and the wind is blowing and you find that protected warm spot where the sun is shining full in your face, and for a moment you just stand there and soak it all in. That is what we have in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all life's heartaches and trials and tribulations, we pause and soak up the warmth of the Savior. We let Him flood us with His solace and His peace. We can let that light flood our darkness and the darkness be gone, and we have blessings of it warming and comforting our soul. How many times in our failings and in our sinful flesh we miss this comfort and solace that is all, thinking that we can do it all on our own, that we can handle it ourselves. But God tells us over and over again in this scripture, He is always with us, that we bear all our burdens in His leading and in His guidance. As Romans 15:4 tells us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Certainly that hope is ours. That hope is ours in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope that lies not in this world, not in the darkness of this world, not in the darkness of our flesh, but in the light that is ours throughout all eternity. We are a true sheep of a true shepherd, a true saint and not a pretender. Salvation from above and not from ourselves, this light is ours. As the little kid's course goes, this little light of mine, surely it is truly ours, but it is not little. It is not small. It is the ultimate light. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In God there is salvation. This light is spoken throughout the Scripture. There is also judgment. The sin of Adam passed to each and every man must be judged, forgiven in the total perfect redemption of the light, or never forgiven in eternal damnation. And when we look at that as shown in the Scripture, it is an eternity of darkness. Darkness that is lonely. Darkness where there is no conversation, no peace, no joy, no comfort. A darkness of eternal pain and suffering, indescribable in the words of man. But it is a darkness that will never end. And worst of all, it is an eternal darkness that will be forever without any semblance of the light, without any semblance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in all that was chosen before man ever was and called at the appointed time of the sovereign God into the light. In Him is all we need throughout this earthly sojourn and throughout eternity. As a saint of God, we can truly say with our brother David there in the Psalms, He supplies our needs. He looks after us. He is our light, no matter the situation of life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they cover me. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these Scriptures. We are thankful that You are truly the light, that there is no other. We're thankful that You show us that light each and every day, each and every moment of each and every day. And it is all in Thy doings. Nothing in ourselves. In ourselves, we're nothing but a totally depraved sinner. And it was only because You chose, and it was only because You called, that You drew us unto Yourself. Not in our decision, but in Your decision. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.